How are you all doing, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to the WAN Show. We got a bunch of great topics for you today. In internal news, there has been some development in the Lab 2 condition drama. We have actually been contacted by the previous tenant/owner, and I will be giving you guys an update on that. Some of it is promising. Some of it is extremely disappointing. Oh. And yes, you. I'm looking at you. We'll also be talking about the supposed... Actually, no. Let's talk about this instead. Crypto winter is upon us. The crypto market cap has slumped under $1 trillion for the first time since January 2021. We're going to be talking about that. What else we got?
Google engineer reports that AI is sentient and he was suspended for it. Are they covering something up? Are they hiding the takeover?
Or did they just breach their NDA?
Or did they talk about things they weren't supposed to? Also, Amazon has an insanely high turnover rate. The percentages actually made me gasp, and I'm not kidding.
Let's talk about that.
It's amazing.
Well, let's roll that intro first, shall we? Whoa, what happened here?
What is going on? Wow, your head is huge.
Why you gotta be like that? Why you gotta be like that?
Because you make me carry the couch every week.
We know my ego's out of control, okay? You don't have to wait. Oh, whoa, it's running again. You know what? The
sponsors are there.
The show is brought to you by... All right, update on Lab 2. Here's the situation.
What's going on?
We posted upset about some of the... Yeah. Well, the state of some of the things in the building. I went back and rewatched the video. Some of the things in the building were apparently our guys, very small things. We did not cut the safety railing, like peeling those stickers. But we never said in the video that that was the previous tenant. The things that were the previous tenant were things like the replacement of the ceiling tiles, the removal of doorknobs, cutting that safety railing up where the air compressor was. I don't know if I actually mentioned in the video, I forget now, that the racking was not secured. It was not seismically sound.
Yeah.
Clearly it was not permitted properly. So we talked about that, and some members of our community apparently took it upon themselves to go out of their way to find out who was in that building before us and send them harassing messages.
Not great.
Which, guys, what the f***?
That's not how you do it.
No, that's not how you do it at all. You may have noticed in the freaking video, we blurred signs that had the previous tenant's names on it. Why? Because you guys, look, I know most of you are chill and we're fine, but do you think...
You can be scary sometimes, okay?
Do you think you're helping?
Yeah.
You know, you're not a white knight at that point. You're like you're a evil knight. Like, honestly, though, it's not helpful. It's not constructive. I don't know how to condemn this in strong enough language that it never happens again. Don't get involved. It's
been bad. There's examples of when it's been bad.
Really bad, for sure.
So do not.
And it's utterly inappropriate. Like, yes, I was frustrated, but... Like, I don't know how to address this because it's one of those situations where I don't understand what the headspace is of the people that are seeing that video and going, I need to go harass the employees of that previous building tenant.
Individual employees too.
So what do I tell you? Do I tell you I don't need protection? Do I lecture you about how cyberbullying's not okay? Do I point out that that employee more than likely had absolutely nothing to do with the decision-making process that led to those things happening? How do I tell you that you should never do that? Other than that, what I just did, there. Is that strong enough words? Are we never going to have this problem again? I sincerely hope so. So I'm really frustrated. The good news is that we did hear from the previous tenant/owner. It seems like they would really like to make things right. In which case, I'll be happy to say that yes, everything is resolved. I don't know that is how it will turn out, but I really hope so. Some things do seem to be kind of a miscommunication. The agreement said that the stained ceiling tiles would be replaced. There is a box of ceiling tiles on a mezzanine somewhere, apparently. Oh. I haven't seen them. Technically, that is replaced. I pointed out that if I were selling a car and I noted that there were scratches on the bumper and it would be replaced, I would think the buyer might expect to find that new bumper installed on the car as opposed to in the trunk. But I do see it both ways. So we'll see.
I mean, I don't really, to be completely honest. Because, like, you can take that bumper analogy so much further. The doors are all dented. The doors will be replaced. And then there's just, like, doors, like, strapped to the top of the car. Like, that doesn't count. I don't know. They should be replaced. It's a different thing.
I mean, as I said when we originally talked about this on the WAN show, the state of Lower Mainland real estate is such that you basically have not much in the way of recourse as a buyer.
Yeah.
You either take it or you get nothing. I saw this hilarious post on Reddit where someone posted a letter that they received from an investment company that wanted to buy their asset, and they basically posted like a public reply to it saying, "This is not an asset. This is my home."
Also, that was pretty
fuck you, you vampiric, horrible people who are buying up all the homes as assets so that people don't have them.
Yeah.
And I was like, bravo. No, this is my home and I intend to live in it. Like, yeah, good job. And that's the situation. I mean, it's honestly no different in commercials. So much of the commercial real estate here is just getting snapped up by investors. And there's just nothing you can do about it as a homeowner, as a business owner, as an owner occupier is the term that we would use. So the units that we have here were purchased for $333,000 each. And that was for 2,000 square feet. And when I say 2,000 square feet, I mean 2,000 square feet of plate, of actual concrete slab. Because 2,000 square feet of 1,000-foot slab and 1,000 feet of mezzanine is not the same thing because it doesn't have the same potential to be further built out. So when you run those numbers, calculator, what's that? Okay, so price per square foot. So $333,000 each divided by their about 2,000 square feet each for the units that we bought initially. So that's $166 a square foot. Lower Mainland commercial real estate pricing in the last 6 to 7 years since we moved in here has gone to over $700 a square foot. We paid about $700 a square foot down the street. That is a quadrupling of pricing.
That's
more
brutal.
Than quadrupling of pricing. It's absolutely nuts. Like, we couldn't have afforded at the stage we were at then to move into a space like this now. It would have stunted our growth. Honestly, at this point, I'd love to move out of Vancouver. But we have like...
I tried.
I know. You pushed for it. You pushed for it, Luke.
That's all I want to hear. I don't need to dig it in. I actually tried so hard.
You weren't wrong, but I also think that this was all right. We did okay.
Yeah.
So the update on Lab 2 is that we are hoping to reach a peaceful resolution, peaceable, whatever, a happy resolution to that whole shenanigans. It seems like they have at least started the conversation to try and get these things resolved in good faith. I'm really happy to hear that.
Has there been any conversation about how they're going to fix the safety rails?
But I want to point out that it was nothing to do with people brigading and harassing people. That is not why they reached out. All that did was make this process more difficult and more stressful for everyone. You have not helped anything.
Yeah.
As for the safety railings, I mean, we're honestly at this point, we're just doing everything through our realtor. We'll let our realtor talk to your realtor because, you know, clearly it's easier to just let that happen.
Yeah, sure.
So I'm not sure.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about next?
Should we talk about the Google thing? The Amazon thing is like more fun.
Yeah, let's talk about the Amazon thing.
Okay. So funny. Amazon's turnover is so high that they're running out of people to hire.
They're running out of people to hire.
They're expending entire communities.
How does that even work? How do you actually churn through employees so fast that literally an entire community of people is either already gainfully employed, works at Amazon, or previously worked at Amazon and is now gone for some reason or another?
Oh, man. The turnover rates are insane. We'll get to that in a moment, though. There was a leaked memo from Amazon that claims they could run out of people to hire in their U.S. warehouses by 2024. And what I mean by that is all of them. Internal models expected that the Phoenix, Arizona warehouses would run out by 2021. Uh-huh. And the warehouses in Inland Empire, 60 miles from L.A., that would run out by end of year 2022. Amazing. The turnover rate is so high, it's tracked internally on a weekly basis.
Weekly?
3% weekly, or this is the one that really got me. 3% weekly, like, that doesn't sink as hard.
That's wild.
That is insane.
That's like if we had one person going in and out the door every week.
But what about 150% a year?
Not quite. That would be... No, wait, hold on. Let me think for a second. We have 80 people. So if we... Holy crap. That'd be like us losing 2.5 people a week. What?
And then you have to hire new ones. 150% a year. So you're going through your entire team and a half.
Every year.
Whoa! Like, that's crazy. Wow. There's some discussion questions. When Amazon runs out of employees that want to work in the area, will they start shipping them in from other areas, or will they start housing workers as well?
I could absolutely see that.
Yeah, why not? Just
start up Amazon Immigration Services, Smile. You know, Amazon Smile Immigration Services or whatever. Prime Immigration.
And just put them in farms and call them dorms. That'll be good.
Yeah, I mean,
sell them Amazon food, pay them in Amazon bucks. America's done this before, right?
I think it was a long time ago. Yeah back in just the early colonial times.
Spin it back up. Let her rip, Amazon.
Take that out of context. For those of you who don't pick up on verbal irony very well, we are not seriously suggesting that.
No.
That's horrible.
Yes,
it's satire. Okay, we are saying that because it should be so awful and unthinkable.
Yeah.
That nobody should take it seriously. I'm just spelling that out for you.
Little reminder along with that to not harass employees of companies that we have trouble with. That's nuts. There really isn't a ton else on the topic, and I don't really know what else to say. It's just actually crazy.
I mean, the only real solution to this is capitalism self-correcting? Finally, is this it doing what it's supposed to do?
I wonder.
Amazon runs out of people to hire and has to raise their wages. Like,
I wonder if to a certain degree they're, because like it doesn't sound like there's a solution being proposed.
Internally.
I'm wondering if they're trying to just like see if they can burn out until a point where they'll have robot replacements.
There's a lot of stuff.
It's a race against time. It's really hard to replace people for,
You can replace a lot of roles, though. There are a lot of roles that you can replace.
But there's certain things that are tough, and you kind of need supervision from people.
Yeah, or not even just supervision from people. You just need the flexibility and the dexterity of people. It's just not there yet. And you think about, if all I had to do, right? If all I had to do was manage, like, similar sized boxes, I could probably have a robot doing that today. But it's Amazon. They sell freaking
all over the place.
Everything.
Yeah.
You know, some items are shaped like this, and some items are shaped like this. LTTstore.com. Some items are shaped like this, and if you handle them wrong, they'll break.
Yeah.
You have to have that human awareness.
For now, yeah.
Or you're going to lose more efficiency.
Yeah.
Man, this is another really funny thing I saw on Reddit. There's this robot that apparently exists only to find spills and then make noise so that a human will come clean it up. And there's this amazing clip of it like knocking something over itself, dragging it around while the people who are just like,
uh-oh.
There's a point where robots just create extra work for people as opposed to actually saving them any work.
That's awesome. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Does that 3% turnover rate include their AWS side? No, I believe this is just warehouses. I have heard very anecdotally, based on basically nothing, that their software development side has a lot of turnover as well, because I've heard it's like hyper competitive, and
that makes sense.
Very tough, but it's a different form of turnover that the warehouses would have, because it would be hyper competitive, so it would be like burnout due to effort.
Yeah, I could see that being very challenging. I mean, we already kind of see the effects of that. I mean, the number of people that come in and interview with you and say, you know, hey, I'm looking to kind of like not deal with this crazy breakneck pace of working,
like,
and
80 to 100 hour work weeks,
these crazy number of hours. I mean, the really funny parts of those conversations are where when they also say, because we actually do work like just normal work hours at our companies. So the funny part is when they say, oh, by the way, this is what I was making at a Fang and I want you to match it. And we're like,
you want to work less than half as many hours
and get the same pay?
It's like that.
Well, you let us know how that works out at wherever it is that you're going to go try and pitch that.
You might find somewhere with some hella VC money that might make that work, but
yeah, we're not it.
I'm saying it, chief.
Like, I mean, yeah, we don't claim to be everything to everyone, but what we do try to do is achieve reasonable life balance. And you know what? It totally makes sense. Like, I could see myself telling my kids, like, hey, yeah, get some coding education, get a couple projects under your belt, go just, you know, trial by fire, be forged as a developer at a Fang-like company, and get out after a few years with basically your down payment taken care of.
And, like, a super sick resume that you can take to basically whatever thing you decide you want to work on after that.
Yeah,
it's not a bad path.
Find something that you like actually want to work on. I've also heard that the projects can be extremely soul-sucking. I mean, if I was at Google working on one of their 18 chat applications, how demoralizing would that be?
Yeah.
Well, this is all just going to get thrown in the garbage in a couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, I think the mobile
time
games
to go get drunk, guys. Like, how do you even keep working on it?
Something I've thought about for a long time, and I've talked to you about some of the like mobile games development stories that I have from like friends that work in that industry. But something I find it very interesting that people in like say our generation grew up playing the games that we grew up playing, and decided that because of those games they wanted to become developers so they could make more games, right? And then they ended up in the mobile games development industry, and every single one of them that I've talked to that's in that industry isn't in that industry because they're making games that they like. It's golden handcuffs. They're making so much money that it's a really difficult internal logical argument to say, like, I should go work on something else, because you're like, well, I'm gonna lose like half of my income because I make incredible money from this like soul-sucking parasitic industry that I guess I'll just stay here. But it's like, I don't know, man, it doesn't seem worth it to me, but it is worth it to some people, and some people have relatively big families, and there's like or relatively big whatever type of financial commitments, and
for sure
they just have to do what they got to do.
And
so
the thing about financial commitments is as your means grow, you find ways to make more of them. Like, my financial commitments are such that if I don't make millions of dollars a year, I will be ruined. Like, I actually just have mortgages that cost $500,000 a year. Like, just right there, just into the mortgage. I like, internet bills that are on the tens of thousands of dollars a year. Like, it's just, and to be clear, I'm talking commercially, okay, not personally.
I was gonna prompt that in a second, but
no, my home internet's like $100 a month. And so I can see how it's really easy to fall into that trap where you go, okay, if I'm making less than $250,000 a year as a mobile game developer or whatever, I can't survive because I've gone and I've adopted a lifestyle that necessitates that kind of income. And that can look like a lot of different things. It can look like, you know, houses, cars, sugar babies. I don't know. What costs money?
Oh, geez. Medical bills in certain countries.
Like, what does a sugar baby cost?
I don't know.
Asking for a friend.
I have no idea. And, like, just in case there's anyone in mobile game development industry that's watching that is feeling highly offended, I'm not judging. These are just stories from people that I know that are in that industry that feel that way.
No, and there's mobile games that are not going to be soul sucking.
100%.
They're like, yeah. I mean, what was that one that I really want to play once it's finally not Apple Arcade exclusive? It was the Final Fantasy.
Yeah, I'm not going to remember the name of it, but I know what you're talking about.
Can't remember, but it looks absolutely amazing, and I can't wait to play it once it's on a platform where I know I'm going to be able to put my save game somewhere that I will actually still have it at some point.
Yeah.
Let's see, what are people talking about? Diablo Immortal. No, that's not the one. that's not it.
I don't think my thing's catching on. I knew it wouldn't, but...
Which thing?
Getting people to say, if they're making like a stupid purchase, getting people to say, I'm going to Diablo Immortal it, or I'm going to DI it.
No, that's not going to catch on.
It'd be so great,
Fantasian,
though.
That's the one. Thank you.
I do enjoy people that have done the play on words of calling it Diablo Immoral. It's pretty good.
I mean... okay. If you know that you are preying on people's addictive personalities, there's an argument to be made for immoral in that particular one. What's not immoral is telling you about our sponsors. I got to get these out of the way quick today because I've got the writing team. Speaking of things we try to do to make working here, you know, about more than just money, we're all getting together. We're hanging out tonight. And nice. We're going to play some Takeling's House Party.
Oh, that's cool.
It is so freaking fun.
That's
also
fun.
I joined the Discord and I got in touch with the dev.
Takelings?
I was wrong. There is still active development.
Oh.
It's just that it's just one guy.
That makes sense.
So he's got a content pack coming sometime in the next few weeks that's like three more levels. And
oh,
I was like,
sweet.
Dude, I don't want to tell you how to run your jam over there, but like...
Just release them one at a time.
It's a lot better to release one at a time once every 9 months than have literally nothing in your dev blog for like 3 years and then drop a huge content update.
Yeah,
come on.
That is cool though. That, like, if you haven't tried it yet, Takeling's House Party is legitimately probably one of the most fun like in-person VR party games ever.
I can't think of one that I've played that's more fun. It's just stupid chaos.
And because it's stupid chaos, it's good for like everybody.
Yeah, you don't have to be good at it. It just doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's just funny.
Just hilarious. My kids absolutely love it.
Yeah, very cool. You only need one headset as well, just in case you're wondering. Yep. One headset and like a TV or a large monitor or something.
Yeah, and you can have up to 8 couch players causing chaos for the headset player.
Yeah.
Thanks to Collide for sponsoring today's show. Collide is an endpoint security solution that uses the most powerful untapped resource in IT. And users. Old school device management tools like MDMs force disruptive agents onto employee devices that slow performance and treat privacy as an afterthought. But Collide does things differently. Instead of forcing changes on users, Collide notifies your team via Slack when their devices are insecure and gives them step-by-step instructions on how to solve the problem. By reaching out to employees via a friendly Slack message and educating them about company policies, Collide can help you build a culture in which everyone contributes to security because everyone understands how and why to do it. For IT admins, Collide provides a single dashboard that lets you monitor the security of your entire fleet, whether they're running on Mac, Windows, or Linux. That visibility makes it easy to prove compliance to your auditors, customers, and leadership. You can meet your compliance goals by putting users first. Visit collide.com/WAN to find out how. That's KOLIDE.com/WAN. Thanks to New Relic for sponsoring today's show. If you're a software engineer, you've been there. It's 9 p.m., you're finally unwinding from work, when suddenly your phone buzzes with an alert. Something's broken, and your mind's already racing at what it could be. Is it the back end, the front end? Is it global? Is it in the server? Is it the network? Now the whole team's scrambling from tool to tool and messaging person after person to find out and fix the issue. That won't happen if you get New Relic. New Relic combines 16 different monitoring products that you'd normally buy separately, so engineering teams can see across their entire software stack in one place. More importantly, you can pinpoint issues down to the line of code so you know exactly why the problem happened and can resolve it quickly. That's why the dev and ops teams at DoorDash, GitHub, Epic Games, and more than 14,000 other companies use New Relic to debug and improve their software. Whether you run a cloud-native startup or a Fortune 500 company, it takes just 5 minutes to set up New Relic in your environment. That next 9 p.m. call is just waiting to happen. Get New Relic before it does. You can access the entire New Relic platform and 100 gigs of data free forever, no credit card required, by signing up at newrelic.com/WAN. That's newrelic.com/WAN. newrelic.com/WAN. And finally, thanks to FreshBooks for sponsoring today's show. FreshBooks is an easy-to-use accounting software that helps you do your business. Impress clients with professional-looking invoices that detail the work you've done, use automated payment reminders if invoices get past due, easily track expenses and use a time tracker to log every minute of billable hours so you don't have to think about it later, and you can keep everyone on the same page with their projects feature, which makes it easy for clients, teams, and contractors to collaborate, share files, and comment. And don't worry, FreshBooks has your back at tax time, too. With a ton of different reports to choose from, you know exactly where your business stands, and you can easily hand the keys over to your accountant so they can take over when it's time to reconcile everything for year end. So choose a plan that's right for you and start your free trial of FreshBooks for 30 days today, no credit card required, at freshbooks.com/WAN.
What do you want to talk about next?
Should we talk about the Google AI thing?
I want to talk about crypto winter is upon us.
Let's do it.
I have spent an embarrassing amount of time doom scrolling crypto crash, like hashtag crypto crash memes. And to be clear, I'm not enjoying other people losing money. I've lost money on investments, including crypto, in the past. To be clear, I hold nothing today except some of my meme stocks, and not even all of those. I think Yvonne sold them or something. I don't know. The point is, I'm out. I think. I have no idea what for. But not all of them. I don't know. I don't have the investment account anymore.
I was going to say, it doesn't really manage.
Long story.
Own money too much.
But Framework. So I have my Framework investment, and then I have whatever crypto I have from mining on the land center GPUs. And then I think we were running the editing machines after hours for a while, but then the editors complained because NiceHash caused kind of weirdness on their systems or something. So okay. I don't think it's on there anymore. Yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to disclose everything. I'm trying to be extremely thorough. So I've experienced it. I have lost money. I'm not saying that's a good feeling or that I would wish it on anyone, but they're just so funny. I saw this one where someone had green and red peppers and laid them out on their countertop, to show the gains and losses chart. And mirrored the real one for Bitcoin. I'm that's hilarious.
That's so random.
When you buy the dip and it keeps on dipping, I don't know. Because that community is so memey, whether crypto is going like this or like this, they're memeing,
there's
right?
There's going to be jokes. There's going to be memes.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Oh, I guess we should talk about it.
Bitcoin has fallen to roughly 20K USD, not seen since December 2020. Ethereum has fallen to roughly 1K USD, not seen since January 2021/December 2020. And the global crypto market cap is currently at $893 billion at time of writing, which means it's probably changed, given how rapidly it's been changing over the last little while. Ethereum mining is no longer profitable for many miners. And to be fair,
whoops.
This is a
there.
Big, massive, monumental crash that is causing huge problems and companies to fold and all this other kind of stuff. But
people are losing their jobs, which is always
lots of
always
them.
Not cool.
To be fair, they're developers; they'll find other jobs. But it is not the. It is. Not, it's true.
You are so bitter right now. He spent the entire week doing interviews this week. Can you tell he's a little mad?
No, it is true. There's so much demand for developers. I think that's understated sometimes. But like, if your job sucks, if you like hate your job in development, just like look for another one. There's probably lots out there. Like, it's actually crazy. Yeah. It is not uncommon for me to be interviewing someone and they'll be like, just to let you know for transparency, I'm currently in talks with like 5 other companies. I have job offers from 3. So just what's your timeline? Cause like, I'm going to accept one of these. And it's like, okay, that's cool. Like I'm why not? Right. Like they probably should. I'm not going to hold it against them, yeah. But there are people out there that are hiring lots of developers. So I think I genuinely think they will land on their feet. So I'm not as worried about that. Like I'm not trying to be like negative. I think they will be okay.
Sir Dread over on Twitch says, as a software dev, I agree with Luke, lol.
Yeah. Like they will actually probably be okay. So it's not like that huge of a deal. So what I was saying before that though, was like, there has been times in the past where Ethereum has not been profitable to mine. People just kept mining it. There is a quote here, which I think is kind of interesting, which is, at this point, you are better off to just buy Ethereum rather than run your cards. If you were trying to buy the dip, I'm not suggesting that. I'm just saying.
Disclaimer, this is not financial advice.
Not at all.
We are not either financial advisors or crypto bros.
Yeah, no. I just think, I know. The people in the crypto space that have been in the crypto space for like a really long time have weathered some crazy storms.
Oh yeah, they've seen it worse than this.
Yeah, so like the like real like super OG crypto people, you know what? It probably kind of sucks right now.
Whatever, whichever Winklevoss twin is like a crypto billionaire or whatever, gonna be all right.
Yeah, it's gonna be okay.
So with that said.
Yes.
Are you buying the dip?
No. No, I'm out. I've been out for a while. I got burned on, I think I've talked about this story on WAN before. I'm not sure. So I was in a little bit a long time ago, and I had ordered some hardware wallets, and they had come in, but it was like they had come in the same week this event happened, and I hadn't had time to like migrate things over to them yet. So I had all my crypto in a platform called Quadriga CX, and now it's all gone. If you want to look into that, it's actually a very interesting story. There's some, like, possibly the owner of it faked his own death and all this crazy stuff, but it's gone. So once that happened, I was like, man, I can't believe this happened. And a bunch of people in the crypto space pointed at me and just said I was like an idiot for having an exchange. And I was like, you know what? I'm just not going to do this anymore. I'm done. I'm out. Have a good one. So, yeah, that's it for me. And honestly, they weren't even like entirely wrong. I should have set up those wallets earlier. I should have migrated things to them earlier. Yep. I should not have trusted the platform.
Yep.
But I just, I was like.
I mean, we knew the platforms were shady AF.
Yeah. So, like, you know what? Yes. Okay. I just don't have the time. I got other things going on. It's like, it's a big time investment to properly be involved with this stuff.
Yeah, that's the thing is like, on the one hand, it's like passive income, bro. You just run your cards, bro. But on the other hand, if you want to actually know, be dialed into what's going on in that space.
It moves fast.
Capitalizing on the next big grift. You've got to be right at the beginning of that. Parabolic upswing, right? Like you can't, if you catch the peak, well, guess what? You were the bigger fool, right? So
yeah.
It's
yeah. So it's tough. Yeah. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of energy.
And you're competing against people who have inside information that you don't have. They're like, what's their face? Like Antminer, for example, apparently they will mine on whatever their new hardware is for a very long time. And then literally release that new miner once their next one is like ready to go so that they are always way ahead in terms of mining efficiency.
Yeah.
And so they're literally just like selling used hardware that they already abused. It's like, oh, okay. Now, to be clear, this is all allegedly. I don't know this for sure.
Yeah.
So blah, blah, whatever.
I've heard it from a few
I've heard
good
it from
sources.
Some people who probably know.
Yeah. But it's still allegedly.
It's still allegedly.
Yep. Yep.
It's still allegedly.
Yep. But there's been some good sides for people that aren't deeply in crypto. Graphics cards have like really sprung back. Not only are we at MSRP, but there's a lot of options that are below SMRP. MSRP? The used market is feeling I wouldn't necessarily say completely vibrant yet, but like
a scrapyard horse.
If we were going to, it would not have been a good idea for a long time,
yeah.
And now might actually be a solid idea.
Yeah.
Apparently, there's 3080s on eBay as low as $575.
Wow.
That's like actually crazy.
Personal anecdote from Nicholas Plouffe, who prepared this one. I walked into Langley Memex on Sunday and saw tons of cards. Apparently, they've had stock for about 2 months.
A buddy of mine who's building a new computer messaged me being like, hey, should I get this card? It's like discounted. And I was like, what? Like, what are you talking about? And I thought, I was like, oh, he's must be crazy. So I opened the link and I was like, they're all discounted.
Nice.
That's insane.
I'm so happy. I'm happy to have stuff to make videos about again. I'm happy people are going to actually be able to build computers. This has been stupid.
It's been nice, like, kind of, you know, dropping the race flag for a bunch of friends that have been like, should I build a computer for the last like few years? And be like, no, hold off. Then I'm like, go.
Yeah, go. It's go time. Man, there's so much great hardware out there right now.
Yeah.
Like, you've got AM5 coming. You've got Alder Lake here now with potential upgrades to Rocket Lake, which is looking really promising.
The CPU space has been...
CPUs have been great for a bit.
Yeah.
And then on the GPU side, you've got... Well, I don't know how to feel about...
Now.
I don't know how to feel about Intel Arc graphics at this point. Apparently, they're launching China only, which is never a good sign. That always means that you are either A, can't produce enough for a global launch, or B, want to just focus on a market where you can move all your inventory through OEMs rather than have to actually compete in the open market on its own merit. So we'll
see
how it goes. That's an interesting idea. Scrapyard Wars, but with new hires. So like we remote control our people.
Because that,
like, put like a bug in their ear.
I actually probably wouldn't have a problem anymore, but you're like just screwed. Everyone's gonna know who you are.
Center. I can't go freaking anywhere.
Yeah.
I went out with Yvonne. We went to do a glass blowing class, got some fast food, and did something else. And I literally got recognized at all three of those places. And the funny thing about it is that I'm not famous. Really. I know the two things I just said sound highly contradictory. But you got to understand the difference between being famous. If you are Taylor Swift, no matter where you go, you are going to get absolutely mobbed, right? Whereas for me, the issue is that I happen to run into like young dudes in all of those places. So with that demographic, like
very well known.
Yeah, the odds of me getting recognized at like a badminton club.
Also, you're in your area. So it's not weird for someone to spot you here.
No, it doesn't really matter. I could be in Malaysia for all it matters.
You
think
so?
The demo's
yeah.
The demo. Yeah. It just is what it is.
Yeah.
Whereas if I'm on a construction site, which I've been living on for quite a while now. If I'm on a construction site, the odds of like someone who's like a pool contractor knowing Linus Tech Tips, much lower. And then if I go and hang out at like a crafting center, like a crafting club, literally 0% chance. I walk in, I am the most anonymous nobody. I might as well have a Guy Fox mask on. I am anonymous. I am no one. So it's a funny thing. I don't know.
I think that's pretty much it for this topic. There was there's the big layoffs that we did mention. There's more details on that.
Yeah, Coinbase laid off 18% of their staff, which is
1,100 people, I think.
What? Coinbase? Coinbase had over 6,000 employees. What were they doing all day?
They're a huge company. What do you mean?
Yeah, but like they need 6,000 people?
I guess that's a good point. Because when I said my thing.
So there's that.
Well, I think that's mostly because they're saying it's because they like grew too quickly and stuff. It's probably mostly because the crypto crash. I don't know. I could be wrong. But when I read that number, I automatically assumed developers, but it might not be. Because they're like an exchange, right? This could be business people, accountants, stuff like that. This could be all over the board.
I guess if you're all over the world, you'll need a ton of accounting too. Man, international commerce is a nightmare.
And it's probably even still a little bit more crazy when you're converting crypto and stuff.
Still 6,000 people.
Man, it's a lot of people.
That's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Cavalry Canuck over on Float Plane says, yo, Linus, I wore your shirts in the oil patch. Everyone knows who you are. Okay, well, that's a high-tech industry. You might not think about it that way, but like gas, oil and gas exploration, super high-tech industry. So it depends. I might actually expect that as well. But if I were to go... okay.
Also, at least up here, popular with the young adults.
Yes. Whereas like any roofer that I've ever run into is like, oh yeah, so what do you do? Like, oh, I'm a YouTuber. I'm like, oh yeah, cool. I like YouTube. I'm like, okay, yeah, fair enough. Like it's different. It's hard to, I don't know. Where I encounter it probably most is the parents of like my kids' friends.
Really?
Yeah, because.
Interesting.
There are pretty much two like tracks, right? There's people for whom technology and the internet is a huge part of their personal culture. And then there's people like the guy I bought a used clarinet from on Facebook Marketplace last night, whose entire life is like skateboarding around and like busking in parks and like hanging out with friends and was like, yeah, man, like, yeah, cool. I hope you enjoy the clarinet. Like, yeah, okay. And then some guy walks past in the lobby of the building where he lives and is like, it's just one of those things where if you're like a real celebrity, people will know your name regardless of whether they follow that space or not. But internet celebrity is like this, it's like this C tier.
That's necessarily D-tier. True. To be completely honest, I would not recognize Taylor Swift.
Yeah, but you know who she is.
I know her name.
Yeah, whereas if you're not dialed into the technology space, you would not know my name.
Yeah, fair enough.
It's just different. It's just super different.
I do think it's different, but I don't think the mark is that everyone would recognize you. You know what I mean? There's a lot of celebrities that I don't really know because I've never cared about that space. There's a fair amount of people that I might recognize their face because they're in some like movie that I like, but I have no idea what their name is. I don't know.
So the discussion here is scalping prices are gone, but will the 40 and 7,000 series continue to drive our expected prices for GPUs
up? I suspect so.
And I think they will. I think that NVIDIA and AMD, I think NVIDIA in particular, is kicking themselves over the introductory pricing of the 3,000 series. I think that the crypto MSRP increases were an opportunity for them to right this wrong for their shareholders. And I think that as we see 4,000 series introduced, they're going to be willing to take the pain that comes with the jump in 4,000 series over 3,000 series launch MSRPs. I think they'll hide behind, well, compared to where 3,000 series ended up, this is very reasonable. And I think, yeah, they will continue to try to drive, especially at the high end, Halo tier product pricing up. Because the funny thing about it is that I'm gonna blow your mind right now and sound super out of touch, but it's the truth. GPU pricing, even at the high end, is not that high. $1,000, $1,200 is not that much.
Yeah, it is.
Hold on. Let me explain.
Okay.
Have you ever gone back and looked at like London Drugs or Circuit City flyers?
Okay, yes.
I'm not done.
That is not fair and you know it.
From the late 90s.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Nice.
Where a complete setup, and we're not even talking something that might be suitable for gaming. This might not even have a 3D accelerator in it. Okay? A complete setup is going to cost you $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000.
Yep.
Now you account for inflation.
Then it's like way more.
If a like personal computer cost $4,000 today, that wouldn't even be that ridiculous. Now, obviously, we had a period in between where we enjoyed extremely low prices.
Yeah.
Where top-tier GPUs were $500 and the rest of the system it went in could be had for $500. And that was a pretty good time.
The sub $1,000 like high-end gaming PC was a cool.
Man, the early 2000s was a wild ride, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Like our like mid-2000s. I guess the mid-2000s was when we really peaked before ATI, AMD, and NVIDIA figured out we could charge $1,000 for just this like gaming thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But in the if we look at the entire timeline,
but that's not how anything works. I don't know why you're making this argument.
That's how lots of things work.
No, it's not.
That's how avocados work.
Yeah, but avocados are not GPUs, and you know that. Cost of technology goes down over time. That's just how it works.
Unless it's not going to work that way anymore. That's the thing. I mean, Apple's M2 is not even on a whole new process node. It costs so many billions of dollars
that's just
to keep
they're...
having transistors shrink. It's not going to keep up anymore.
I think we might start running into different types of computing, though.
People are like, bad take, Linus. Can I do this again? Do I have to do this again? Guys, obviously, I'm having a little fun with him right now. Obviously. Okay.
Let us do our thing. We're okay. You don't have to come to Linus's defense every time. He's a grown man. He can take care of himself.
Well, no, they're not coming to my defense. They're telling me it's a bad take.
Yeah.
The point is, margins have clearly gone up in that industry, but also investment into new technology in that industry has gone up.
Yeah.
And I don't think we're not going to be able to take for granted that
pretty sure margins have gone up.
Go down.
I'm pretty sure margins have gone up more than investment has gone up.
I mean, over the last, like, since the pandemic with the inflation, but in the couple of years prior to that, I actually don't know.
Everyone should start referring to inflation in quotations. That would actually be fantastic.
NVIDIA's margins have gone up consistently, but a lot of that is shifting from gaming into new segments like AI, HPC, data center, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's not from them actually just making way more money on gaming cards.
Yeah. But also their reinvestment has gone heavily into those sections.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I don't know. I think we'll eventually start hitting different types of computing, like we've been sort of talking about for a long time, but it's still going to take quite a while. I think people have been thinking that those like alternative forms of computing are like, oh, they're like 2 years away. And it's like, no, they're probably closer to like 20. But yeah, it is what it is.
I think it's time for us to do some merch messages. You guys may or may not have noticed, but we just pushed a big, big launch on LTT Store. Is it out of season? Yes. But does it look amazing? I mean, look.
It's always in season if you're inside with the AC on, okay?
It makes Colton look good.
Whoa.
This is the short circuit
no
hoodie.
Way.
It's basically the same hoodie as the WAN hoodie,
but with this sick
short circuit colorway. Hey, did we just reveal a new employee? This is Natalie from the Creator Warehouse team.
I guess
you guys are meeting her for the first time. We've got Riley looking a little sus. Looking a little sus, Riley. Showing off all the zippers. Got the phone pocket. There's James modeling. I like this. That's a good pose. That's fun. Yes, we know that half the pockets are not that useful or easy to use.
But they're just cool.
Don't care. They're just awesome. We just love pockets and love zippers. What are you gonna do about it?
Keep a flash drive with like three different OS installations on it and keep it in like a random ARM pocket. And whenever the time comes, it'll be awesome.
Man,
that's
I've been so excited to launch this product for so long. Guys, it looks so freaking good.
I really like the colors.
You know what? You know what we didn't show very well in the imagery? I don't think I saw anyone wearing the hood.
The purple?
Yeah, the sick purple lining on the hood.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
I think it's cool just when it's like resting on your shoulders.
Just little accents and stuff. It's a really...
I like the colors.
So, WAN hoodie and this one, because they're basically... the underlying garment is the same. They're extremely technical garments. It took a really, really long time for us to get them produced. And the delay on this one was that we wanted to get the gradient printing perfect.
Yeah, and it's great. So, like, honestly, that was probably worth it, because the this one pops really nicely.
You should have seen the early samples. Man, we could do the gradient printing here in Canada perfectly, but the garment production was, like, I don't know, you want to spend $300 on a hoodie? Okay. Or we could do the garment production overseas, but the gradient printing looked awful. So it was like, well, we've got half of a solution either way. I guess we're boned. And you might think, well, why don't you just produce them over there and print them here? Well, the problem is that because the panels are pre-printed and then sewn, that's how you get that super, super seamless look.
Yeah.
Like here on the shoulder as well.
Yeah.
You can't do that. You have to print it, then assemble it.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So.
And that's a lot of shipping.
Freaking love it. Love it. Bite Pond says, love the processor hoodie. The French Terry is awesome. Now there's a short circuit one in a similar colorway, and it looks awesome, and it's the same material. Yeah, very similar material. I don't know that it's exactly the same material. Don't quote me on that.
Also, there's an update on screwdriver shafts.
Yes.
Apparently, we're going to sell both black and silver.
Yes.
Black shafts will be a limited run.
I can give you guys the full kind of... actually, I think, did Nick do another... Did Nick do a newsletter today?
I can check. Well, I hope it's sent to this email.
I think it's sent to this email. I will check. I got in trouble for being logged into my proper email last week because something bad happened.
I don't see anything on this one.
I don't see anything either. So I'll just... Nick sent me a draft of it, so I'm just going to get that for you guys.
Cool.
Okay, before we jump into today's topic, he wrote, I want to quickly follow up on last week's hotly debated screwdriver color conversation.
That ended in like almost exactly 50-50.
Some of y'all got where we were coming from, but a lot of people were, even if they understood, pretty upset by the last minute design change, felt kind of rug pulled, bait and switched, however you want to phrase it.
This is one of the reasons why we didn't do pre-orders?
Yes, because we didn't want you guys to get surprised having already paid money by a last minute change.
Yeah.
However, even though we think the silver shaft is the right decision for the long-term enjoyment of the product, we understand that some of you do not agree. And for those of you who do not agree, we've decided that we are going to offer both versions. Man, there's so many. It was really frustrating seeing a lot of the comments around this. Some people, I think, really got it. And other people, like, I don't know if it's like a tinfoil hat thing or whatever else. People were speculating that we were trying to save a buck. It was like, it's not about that at all. I was the one who pushed for a black shaft. We tried so many different ways to get the black shaft to work. And it was like, they all have the same fundamental issue. We want a stainless steel shaft because it's super strong. We want this thing to last a lifetime. And that is the way to do that. And stainless steel, whether you're talking Cerakote, whether you're talking dark nickel plating, no matter what it is, you get into like really exotic ways of turning it black. At the end of the day, they're all deposition. They're all a surface layer on top of it, and they will eventually chip. So it's always going to be the same problem, which is why we settled on the silver shaft. With that said, at launch, we are going to offer people the ability to backorder a black shaft version of either the all black or the black and orange colorway, and then we will just discontinue it at some point. And then the silver one will be the one that continues long term.
Makes
so
sense.
So whatever reason you have for wanting a black one, whether you just want it as like a limited edition item and you won't use it, or whether you like that wear, that worn out look, we will get you guys taken care of. All right. Silver fours are faster. Says Cerakote is stupid tough though. It takes a legit beating. All right. It has its own issues though. It's not great with skin oils, and it will eventually chip. Because what the thing about dark nickel?
If it's not great with skin oils, a lot of people are going to want to turn by the shaft.
Yeah. Well, it's designed for that.
Yeah.
A dark nickel plating is really tough too. Like, that's a freaking awesome coating. We were really happy with the toughness until I actually used the thing for 3 months, or 6 months, I had one of them actually.
Started to break down.
And they just, it's not that it's like it breaks down. It's that there's certain wear points that get hit a lot.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Like
yeah.
particularly if you're building computers, so you're like digging in through a heat sink or something. And there's a spot that's literally got a heat sink fin right next to it as you are turning the driver. That's gonna destroy any finish. So we're going to get you. Don't forget to season your screwdriver, says Technetium. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Is the silver also nickel plated? No, it is raw stainless steel. So my expectation is that it will look pretty much like it does on day one, on day 100, and on day 1000.
Silver only in the pop-up?
It'll be silver only at the pop-up shop. Okay. Yeah, I don't think we'll have any black screwdrivers there. Ooh, I have some exciting news about the pop-up shop, though. Confirmed, we are going to have, we weren't able to get a ton of them, 300 units of backpack.
Nice, nice.
We
nice,
are getting
nice.
The like top of production backpacks air-shipped. It is costing $56 a unit to airship them.
Oh, jeez. That's a yikes. That's a yikes. Do you have a rough timeline for the pop-up shop?
Yeah, I do actually. I
and how are you gonna control attendance?
I don't know. Oh, one of the ways we're going to control attendance is we are only going to announce the final date at the last minute.
We so don't, it's like local people.
We do not want people traveling around the world for this. Like, I'm sorry, but we cannot have 5,000 people show up. That would be a huge problem.
It would be.
So
like where we're planning on having it, like that just doesn't work.
Yeah, we're just gonna, yeah, we'll do it. A last minute announcement. Do not travel for this.
We're working on trying to figure out how to do tickets for the LAN, so people can like pick seating and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. That would be cool.
Yeah.
I don't actually see the dates for the pop-up shop, but it will be, if you were to buy a backpack at the pop-up shop, you would have it for back to school.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can say that much.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Merch messages?
Oh, yeah. We should definitely do some merch messages because we've got a lot of them this week. My goodness, you guys are into this short circuit hoodie. Tommy says, oh, sorry, Bell, that's your job. Union grievance.
Oh, my goodness. Tommy says, for Luke, any tips on how to find the Linus in your life, both in mentorship and friendship sense?
Okay, we're going to Luke Cam for this. I'll see you later.
Probably don't take the route that I did.
Okay. Care to explain?
Because I highly recommend not doing that to me. I like lied on my resume.
Oh,
and then
I
we
see.
Had like a, how long was our interview?
I don't
like
know.
Hours.
Yeah, we
like many hours.
I think we stayed like after the office was closed.
Yeah. You had to drive me home because the buses stopped. Our interview was like legitimately like, I think like 6 hours or something. And I brought like a Super Nintendo and he was late because he's late to everything. So when us first meeting, I think he was like half an hour late or something. And I'm in school at this time and I'm like, I was at the top of some of my classes, but I was like pretty high end in general. So I like wasn't thinking I was actually going to get the job. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to study. It's like, I need to keep my school stuff going. So by the time he comes down, I have like papers all over the place and my laptop's out and I'm working and stuff. It was, honestly very unprofessional. yeah, I don't know. I think if you can afford to try to take some chances when you have less responsibilities.
Yeah,
it's dangerous advice. So I feel
it's tough.
Worried.
Like, I feel the same way when I talk about, you know, something like Yvonne. Like, how do you find the Yvonne in your life? And it's like, I don't know, get really lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. I tried things that were non-conventional before I tried working with you on YouTube videos. Like I had done other like weird odd things to try to see if I could find success.
I don't know if I've ever sought out friends.
To be fair, We didn't meet by seeking out friends.
Yeah, but that's the thing is, like, I think that was the question, right? Like, how do you find... Oh, I guess there was the mentorship angle.
Mentorship thing, and that could be a professional
thing. They asked you, but I would say being open to mentorship is a huge part of finding mentors. I found great mentors.
That's
and,
fair, yeah.
They won't keep you around if you don't listen and adapt and change and seek to better yourself. They can't change you. You have to want to change. So that's something.
Alex Steele actually has a take on that I think is pretty good.
Yeah.
Which is that you have to be worth their time. So if you want to, like, if you want a mentor in a field, be worth their time. So like find a way to be valuable to them. And then if they're like a good person, that will be rewarded, right?
So. That actually reminds me, my badminton coach right now, is like one of those people where I work really, really hard because he could just not.
Yeah.
And he could get paid by someone who has a chance to, you know, represent, you know, us at nationals and or like internationally. He could just like train them instead. And I'm just like some over the hill, like tech guy who just wants to get better at the game. Like, yes, I'm paying. Obviously, he's not cheap, but he doesn't have to train me. Someone else would pay. And so I work my ass off in training. Like, I go hard. I honestly end up with my brain as tired as my body at the end of a 2-hour session because I'm just trying not to do anything wrong.
Yeah. I used to edit videos in class, and I would have to walk between classes with my laptop open in my hand because if it was like I could close with screen on whatever, but it would like get too hot. So like literally just having the screen away from the laptop would help it.
Nice.
Because it was like such a struggle. I mean, we've told stories about how little sleep I used to get.
Yeah.
I wouldn't you gotta
abuse
be worth
your body
time.
The way that
yeah,
Luke
I probably
did.
Went a little hard.
Yeah, but you do that.
You probably
it's kind of your charm.
Yeah. but yeah, in you don't have to go that far, but yeah, try to be worth their time. And you can do that in a variety of ways. You can do that the way Linus is doing with the badminton coach of just like making it very clear that your effort level is extremely high. So that they feel like their investment in you is worth something.
Yeah, because good teachers don't teach for money. Good teachers love to teach and love that they can make money and live comfortably by doing what they're passionate about. It's like it's that whole thing. Find a job you love and never work another day in your life or whatever.
It's not right? rewarding like it's, to teach someone who's just not paying attention or caring.
No, it's so demoralizing.
Yeah.
So, absolutely
so
demoralizing.
Care a lot, try really hard, and understand that things might be uncomfortable or not like the absolute most beneficial, but make sure that you're choosing the right person so that it will be beneficial eventually, if you know what I mean.
Okay, hold on. People are taking exception with my whole being over the hill. From a professional athletic standpoint, yeah, 35 is pretty over the hill. Over the hill is relative. Like esports, you hit 25. What are you doing? What are you doing here, old man?
Yeah.
Like it's your reflexes are just not as good.
What is it that I surprised someone with this the other day? What age does your reaction time slow down? 24.
Yeah. Yep. Sorry. Every day I get slower and dumber.
I can feel it in FPS games.
And weaker.
And I know, I had this conversation recently. I know I don't play FPS games as much as I used to, stuff like that. Like, that's definitely part of it, but I can feel it. I can't twitch like I used to be able to. Like, it just doesn't happen as fast. Like, it's not that I don't play the games as much. The connection is just not as good as it used to be. It just isn't. That's fine, but like, I'm not going to be able to be as good as I used to be, which kind of sucks, but it is what it is. Like, it's fine.
You'll probably still do okay at the LAN. You can carry me, okay?
Okay. Joe's probably going to come up.
Nice!
So he can maybe carry both
That's
of us.
That's going to be awesome. Yeah, Joe can hard carry.
Next question's from Samir. What changes, other than more creators, are you planning for the next LTX, with it being the first one back after so long?
Definitely, we want a lot more cool technology for people to check out. So not just sponsor booths where they're showing like their new thing they launched or whatever. We want everything to be super interactive. We did an okay job of that one at the last one, but I think we can do better. And one of the other big ones is that whether it's through volunteers or whether it's through hires, we want to make sure that the LMG personalities that you guys want to interact with are not bogged down running booths. We want there to be way more interaction with creators at the show.
Nice. Cool.
From Connor, for Luke, what's been the hardest challenge, tech challenge you faced building Floatplane?
Tech challenge.
What tech challenge have you not faced building Floatplane? That might be an easier question to answer.
There's been a lot. We made a framework choice early on that honestly, at the time with the information that we had, like if I could, it's hard, but if I could put myself back in those shoes and if I could look at the resources that we had at that time, it seemed like a pretty solid idea. But it like fairly quickly became effectively abandonware, and it was a framework that we were sitting on. So that has been quite the pain. That has been rough.
Which that's, one? That's
can sales. You name it? Oh. Sales. Yeah. That's probably been the. I know that's maybe not what you're looking for, but yeah, selecting the wrong framework, I guess. Has been and was and will be very painful. but we're dealing with it. It's fine.
From Matthew, also for Luke, where did you want LTT to move originally? Kamloops, BC Interior, somewhere in Alberta?
Taiwan.
Yeah, it was a bit of a long shot.
I also had suggested other places, but Taiwan was it really. It's a tech center. The cost of living ratio, like we've always had this thing where like a lot of the income for Linus Media Group was USD. So the conversion into NTD would have been very beneficial for us.
Yeah.
It would have been very.
I could have paid you guys like pauper wages and you could have lived like kings.
Yeah.
Like. It looked pretty good from the business side.
But it's also across the world and like you were having kids and like, I get it. I understand why it was difficult. It's just there was a lot of variables at the time that were like, whoa, this could be like really positive. There's people in chat going like, whoa, sales. Yeah. At the time it looked really cool. Okay. It just got abandoned. It could have been cool if they kept working on it anyways. But yeah, the Taiwan was the like big one that I really wanted to push for. When that fell through, I think at one point in time, I was just like, please anywhere else in Canada, because especially when we started hiring developers, it's like, oh man,
I was super into Vancouver, Washington, just because it's like, no income tax because Washington State, and you can cross border shop in Oregon for no sales tax. Man, again, like living like kings would have been kind of amazing. But Vancouver is also pretty sick.
Vancouver has benefits. It's pretty nice that like if I feel like snowboarding, I can literally go snowboarding in the middle of the week after work and be home for like a late dinner. And yep. Wake up refreshed in the morning. Like, that's actually crazy that that's even possible. And there's like, Vancouver's a cool place. It's just really, really expensive.
Yeah.
Speaking of expensive, from Alan, for your home theater, Linus, if you didn't go with SVS for your main setup, were there any other speakers or tech that you were interested in checking out?
It's a space that I honestly just haven't followed that closely because I've spent my entire life with it either out of my price range or irrelevant because I have absolutely nowhere to put a product like that.
It's also like, it's a space that honestly...
So much snake oil.
And like, it's not everyone's really even invited.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep, I do know what you mean.
Like, if you're not big mega baller, they don't care.
Yeah.
At all. And they're not even advertising to you. Like you might not even know what it is. You've possibly never even heard of it. It's It's yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, I know Kef. I used to have just some like a Kef 5.1 satellite set up and then like an AVR receiver hooked up to my computer, like way back before that was cool. I was really happy with those. I like the sound signature, but I haven't looked at their products in 15 years or 12 years or whatever that works out to. So I just, I don't know. I went with SVS based on, I think it was James's recommendation, and it sounds great. We haven't even treated the room properly yet, and it sounds great.
From Isaac, question for both of you. What's a video you're most proud of?
I don't know, man. That's a tough... Every time someone asks me, what's the video you're most...
You have to go through a backlog of like 10,000 videos or something.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work.
I feel like no matter what I say, I'm going to give you the wrong answer. So why don't I just pick something recent? It was really exciting for me to be one of the few people ever invited to film inside an Intel fab. And to do the same thing at an IBM development lab, like a month apart. It's just
those were really cool. Yeah. Those were really cool.
There's tons of haters that are like, oh, hashtag Linus, you know, he's just a YouTuber, you know, whatever else, right? And where I'll question it. And then I'll go and I'll do something like that. And I'll hear that feedback at the, you know, from people who have worked in the fab, in the fab silo at Intel for over a decade, you know, watch these videos and go like, yeah, no one else has really captured what goes into this like this before. Like,
that's
and
cool.
I go like,
that's...
oh yeah, no, I'm actually really good at this. Yeah. Like I know I don't have the deepest knowledge of everything, but what I feel like if I had a superpower, I feel like my superpower is knowing enough to ask the right questions. Because, you know, I see what I do in a video like that as really easy because all I do is listen. I just listen and I type really fast. So I just listen and I transcribe and then I filter out stuff that's boring and I leave in the interesting stuff and I reorder it. And then I put on my presenter voice and I get all enthusiastic because I am.
Yeah.
And that's it.
It's a lot easier when you genuinely are.
That's a video, right? And what I was trying to figure out is like, well, why can't any reporter just do that? And I think the answer is because they don't ask the right questions. They don't know who the right people to talk to are.
Yeah.
And they don't listen.
I've had a lot of comments in Flowplane chat that have mentioned a lot of videos that I think could be fantastic contenders for me. I've also had a lot of people that have posted things like pizza warmer, which is definitely not it.
that moment when you completely misunderstood the concept of the video.
Someone brought up Scrapyard Wars 4. That was like, that's probably...
Is that the flaming one?
Yeah. That was really cool. Like, I actually really, really enjoyed making that with Rod. That was quite the positive experience. I also really liked my WTF is going on with those, like, few videos that I did in that strain. That was probably not at the right time, and it probably took too much work.
I loved the one on the Neptune Pine. It was really funny.
Oh, that Kickfarted.
Yeah.
Kickfarted was cool. There just wasn't really enough stuff to, like, cover that was actually good to cover. But, Neptune Pine Kickfarted was really fantastic.
Yeah, you're asking for stuff that is not good enough to be good and not bad enough to not ship. So it's this really narrow slice. You got your Neptune Pine. You got your Jibo. You got
you kind of genuinely run out like on a hand or two. Like there's really not that many items. Yep. Follow-up bomb PC, I wouldn't say that was my favorite. It was cool, but I wouldn't say it was my favorite. Like I enjoyed making the Scrapyard Wars 4 flaming computer more than I enjoyed making the follow-up bomb.
That was super cool.
I don't know. There's been lots though. How to hide your
still valid today. Just have to make sure my kids don't find it.
Yeah.
There's some good tips in there.
Pun intended. from Matt. If I have a water loop that the top is 5 feet above the pump and reservoir, what should I do or use?
Why?
That's a good question.
I think the D5 has over 5 feet of head. Use a D5.
You're probably going to have to turn it up a little bit.
D5 head pressure.
I generally like running D5s really low because they get nice.
Maximum head pressure of 3.9 meters. Yeah, just use a D5. There, easy. Easy answer. Very reliable.
From Chris, Linus, and Luke, do you think micro LED and mini LEDs, LED TVs, will stay relevant with the way OLED and QD OLED technology is advancing?
Micro LED is going to be an interesting one. Mini LED is going to be a low-cost option for quite some time.
I was going to say, costing reasons, I think, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so the problem with mini LED is that it can only get so cheap because you have to have the logic to drive that full array local dimming in order to benefit from mini LED, because if you're not packing the LEDs in super tight, why did you bother to use mini LEDs? Mini LED, does it get kind of pushed out by more traditional just edge lit basic TVs on the one side and then QD OLED, like sort of OLED backlighting over like a quantum dot layer on the other side, or just LG getting more aggressive with WOLED? I don't know. I don't know what mini LED's future place is. But micro LED still has... displays. And if the cost can get competitive enough, it could be the only thing that matters, because as TV sizes, as consumers demand larger and larger TVs, it's not going to be practical to ship them as a monolithic piece of glass. Like, you won't be able to transport these 100 plus inch TVs. So modular TVs right now,
audio,
my understanding...
Audio, no audio.
Oh, audio died? Oh, it's back apparently. Micro LEDs are, to my knowledge, the best way to create a modular display at this time. And modular has benefits both for transport as well as for manufacturing. So building many small panels could yield or could help you achieve better product yields than really, really large pieces of glass cut from the mother glass.
Also extreme size displays.
Yeah, extreme sizes. Also different aspect ratios. So micro LED displays could be a great way to have, you know, like a 21:9 display setup other than a projector. Like, I absolutely see a future for that technology, like in the home TV space. Obviously there's other applications for it. But I don't know for sure. I mean, rollable OLEDs. Yeah. That could be the way to tackle transport. And you could have
get your
giant
TV in a tube. Tube.
Tube TV.
that would actually be amazing. If someone like markets it that way.
Yeah.
Buy a tube TV today. I think you can actually go now.
I was making 100% sure. From Cameron, about the screwdriver, does it have a gearless ratchet system, or is it a really fine tooth ratchet?
It's not gearless.
Fine teeth, right?
Fine teeth, yes.
There's a, as far as I know, I have one at home, actually, a gearless one.
Oh, like the roller gear or roll gear or whatever it is.
I think that's it.
Yeah. I've seen those. I like the feel. I like the sound of a ratchet. Yes, it's just a really...
Yes, roll gear. That's it.
Yeah, it's just a really good ratchet mechanism.
From David, have you heard about Kaleidoscope, a high-end home theater alternate to streaming services? I looked it up and it does look pretty interesting.
I'm Googling it right now. Oh boy, I'm getting lots of irrelevant search results because Kaleidoscope.
It's Kaleidoscape.
Kaleidoscape. Kaleidoscope. This is probably not it. Kaleidoscope Theater. We're all about imagination. 2022 to 2023 season. Got your education programs here. Kaleidoscape.
What is this? What is this for?
Escape. I don't know because I haven't managed to find it. Kaleidoscape, the ultimate movie player. Our Fidelity source material for the ultimate cinematic experience. View comparison. Yeah, this is probably...
Is it a computer?
What are you talking about? This? What? What is this footage?
I don't know. Did I tell you about the time that I was at a... I was at a convention, and I was going to make a video at a booth, and I started laughing at a piece of marketing they had, because it was showing, like, 60 hertz versus 120 hertz, and I started laughing, and I went to go, like, film a thing with it, because I was going to, like, make fun of it, and one of the people ran over and grabbed it and ran away. Did I tell you about that? Because they, like, figured out what I was talking about, and I guess they were, like, more well-informed than most of the other people there, and then just, like, booked it, grabbed it, and ran.
So that you couldn't make a video mocking it. That's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. That was epic. So I just mentioned it in the video. It's like, you're not fully getting away with that one. I might not be able to capture it on camera, but it happened.
I'm sorry, but I just really don't understand what I'm looking at here. It's
it seems like a computer.
It's a media Strato C 4K movie player. So it's a 1U thing. Mount it behind a TV. What ultra HD movie player, high dynamic range. What is it? So then what, you buy your movies through it, or What am I looking at here? There's a lot of Fast and Furious. Very fast, very furious.
I think you do buy your movies through it.
You buy your movies through them.
Yeah, if you click
on
the movies button at the top, yes, like you said, you can get every Fast and the Furious. I believe there's also like 14,000 other ones.
Okay, when I purchase it, do I... Your only source for 4K Ultra HD and Blu-ray quality downloads. So is it just Blu-ray quality? Because I could just buy Blu-rays. Show scenes. I mean, I don't know. I guess I am learning about this for the first time. And I don't really have any thoughts on it because I don't really understand it fully.
Yeah, they say it's Blu-ray quality, but in that chart, it's supposed to be better than Blu-ray. So.
Oh, well, this apparently has a like double the bitrate of Blu-ray version of it. I mean... More bitrate, I'm super down. But when I buy this, what am I buying? Do I actually download this file? Like, do I keep this file?
I feel like you would download it to that device, which you would not be able to pull it off of, if that makes sense.
Oh, that would make sense. So that's why you might like the, hold on a second. Where's the... Oh, my goodness. I'm, like, lost on their site. That's always a good sign.
This movie is 42 and a half gigs. Oof.
That's not that much. Gladiator was 95.
Oof.
Hello, kaleidoscope.com.
So in a full plane chat... Oh, full plane chat is debating right now. Wow. Probably not about that. I think everyone is fully aware of what just happened.
That's why you've got these different servers with different amounts of storage, because whatever you buy
has to go on there.
Got
to
be locked to that. Yeah. 4 best in class hard drives allow the system to stay up and running in the event of a drive failure.
What are they though?
They're best in class, Luke.
But tell me what they are.
They're from a leading hard drive manufacturer. So basically Seagate or WD. Cuz there aren't a lot of other options at this point.
Oh man.
Increased ability to playback and download content at the same time. How much does one of these cost? How much is a Terra movie server? That's what I hate about this stuff. Like, you don't have pricing on your site, but everyone knows the pricing, so you're just making me Google it. Like, why? Why waste my time? Just have the pricing there. The 72 terabyte server is $24,000.
Nice. Nice, awesome.
Wow!
All the places that it's available are like super high-end, like home design stuff.
Here's the place, soundandvision.com. Wait, is this reviews or like what even is this?
Well, yeah.
What? Oh my goodness! Look
I mean,
at these,
maybe a,
look
that
at
website
ads
looks
everywhere.
Like I
Get
was
this
wrong.
Out of my way. Man, yeah, okay. This appears to be a review site of some sort. Here in the life.
I clicked on one and it just says the future home of something cool.
Neat.
That doesn't sound like a currently operating company.
What even am I looking at here? Me being me, I decided to transition just about my full disk collection, and that's why I needed not just one, but two 24 terabyte Tera servers for my setup. Really?
Hmm.
Who are you?
Hmm.
I continue to love and highly recommend this. Hold on a second. I don't know.
Do you want to share my screen for a sec?
I do.
I find this interesting. So this is one of the websites that is apparently a dealer. Lux Audio Video Solutions, Manhattan, Southampton, Greenwich. I scrolled down. I saw this one. I'm like, okay, this almost looks like a render, but for sure. I keep scrolling down. I see this one. There's no seating space in front of that TV.
Do you know how much those speakers cost?
No.
I think those are Meridian speakers. I'm looking at them real small here. Hold on. Never mind. No, I don't think they are. I thought they were the speakers I saw when we did the Meridian tour that was sponsored by LG. And I was like, whoa, because apparently they're like $100+ grand each.
Oof. Yeah, we can go off it now. But yeah, I just there's no couch or seating space in front of that TV. And the whole place looks extremely expensive, but it's this like relatively small looking TV. And it's just like a weird picture to include. I don't know. It was odd.
Yeah. Oh, check out. Maybe it was a Meridian. Did it look like this one? Does that look right?
Yeah, just white. Yeah, it looked like the one on the right.
Yeah.
There.
Okay. Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, that speaker is like tens of thousands of dollars for one.
Wow.
Okay.
Kaleidoscope Encore, the Tera 6 terabyte version is $7,614 Great British pounds.
Oof,
that's some money. That's got to be some real nice hard drives in there, you know?
Oh, apparently those Meridians are cheaper. They're only $15,000 MSRP each.
Only 30 grand for the pair.
Yeah, just 30 grand.
Not a big deal.
They did sound great. But then again, having never auditioned a tens of thousands of dollars speaker pair before.
You know what sounds great? Not spending 30 grand on speakers sounds great. The 24, okay, let's see here. The costing difference between a 6 terabyte Tera, so that's the 7,614 pounds, and the 12 terabyte Tera, that goes to 9,000 pounds.
Oh, wow. You actually found somewhere that just has it, yeah. Know, proper pricing, yeah. Just listed.
Jumping from 12 to 24? That's a lot of money.
Wow.
For some hard drives.
For some hard drives. Now, that's some niche content we could get into.
I think Apple just got one-upped, actually.
That's some niche content we could get into. Like, if you are the kind of person who can spend $12,000 on a computer, then can you, like, replace the drives yourself and trick it? Like, get it, like... That is a really small overlap. People who can afford this Kaleidoscope thing and people who want to save a buck on a hard drive. Right there.
Okay, so if you buy the Tera 6 terabyte for it's a still ridiculous 7,614 pounds, it's only 6 terabyte. If you wanted to upgrade it to a 24 terabyte, which is like, I mean, that's not nothing in hard drives.
Yeah.
But it's, you know... It's not an almost doubling of price.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you could save, I think it's like $6,000 or something by doing that.
Wow.
We saved $6,000 on this hard drive upgrade.
Yeah. But then we also wasted a bunch of money that we could have just used a Plex server.
A lot of money.
Anyway, what else you got?
I think we learned we need it for labs. One of our first tests, $30,000 in speakers. $30,000 in a Plex server.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be one heck of a Plex server. That would be like, whoo! That'd be a spicy Plex server.
That'd be sweet.
Yeah, you're really far from your mic.
That would be sweet.
from Marksy, and maybe this is a related question. If you could have absolute control of any tech company, which would it be?
Man, I don't think any one person should have absolute control of any tech company. I think that's kind of the problem right now. You know what? I'm not even going to go any further. I'm not even going to come up with one that I'd want to be mostly in control of. I think it's like an enormous, one of the problems of our time.
I feel like pretty much any of them.
I mean, the one that I would probably change the most is Apple.
Really?
No, that's not even true. The one I'd probably change the most. Oh my God, they're all.
I feel like if I got control of Facebook, like, I would just close it.
No, Facebook could absolutely be a force for good. Facebook Marketplace keeps so much trash out of the landfill. Like, it's like actually good. Facebook could be an enormous force for good, Luke.
Okay.
Anytime they're not, it's because they choose not to be.
So yeah, that's fair. So like, taking the easy way out of making an improvement would be to close it. But you could make more of an improvement by just making it not evil.
By making it great.
Yeah. Cool.
From Pedro, I'm an animator. I'd love to know if you guys enjoy animated movies and if you have any favorite ones or ones that had an impact on your life.
Yeah, sure. I love animated movies. Ones that had a big impact on my life. I mean, I was an adult by the time. What kind of animator are you? We're talking 3D animation. Then I was kind of an adult by the time those started to really be a thing. But to pick an animated that had an impact on my life, that's tough.
That's tough.
I like them.
I can't really think of one.
I mean, I know that Land Before Time had a big impact on, like, my mom's life. I was kind of young for the symbolism of everything that she was doing, but my parents split up, and so one of the things that she gave me was a tree star. And the idea was that whenever I had my tree star, I'd know she was around or something like that. But and as, like, a little kid, I was like, I've got my little foot stuffy and my tree star, and I'm like, this is cool. It's from my mom. But, like, you know, the weight of something like that didn't
fully impact
hit you when you're, you know, four or whatever, right?
I've never been super into like movies and stuff. So I think the most impact that an animated movie on me has had is I don't even know. I think it wasn't called Baymax. I think Baymax was just a character in it.
Mm-hmm.
Big Hero 6?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. His like when they would fist bump and he would go. Yeah, that's my girlfriend and I did that for like years. So I feel like that would be the biggest impact. Did it have meaning behind it? No. Okay. But it was just like a thing that happened? Yeah, I don't know.
Archer goes, Bug's Life taught me the ways of Karl Marx. It's amazing that movie got made. There's like, man, there's some serious like symbolism in animated like kids movies. One of the most wild ones to me is like, what is up with Wreck-It Ralph?
Wreck-It Ralph.
Like, it is clearly about colonialism and like stealing someone's land and somehow turning them into the bad guy. And I'm kind of sitting here going, is nobody going to talk about this? Why is Wreck-It Ralph the bad guy here? He was literally just chilling. And then, you know, Fix-It Felix and the Nicelanders. Like, even the name. It's like the civilized people come in and, like, build their crap. And he's like, hey, you shouldn't do that. And tears it down. Like, oh, I'm sorry. He's the bad guy now? And I'm sitting here going like, huh.
It's been a long time since I've seen it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Conrad mentioned anything from Studio Ghibli. I really need to watch those. I have
not.
Yes,
you do.
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Or wait, no, Bug's Life. No, not Bug's Life. Ants. Ants is the one, the ways of Karl Marx, where they seize the means of production or whatever. Yeah, no. Not Bug's Life. I don't remember Bug's Life at all.
I haven't watched that since I was definitely way too young to understand.
A question from Carl, and surprisingly, like two or three other people. What's your guys' favorite laptop? Or one that like stands out to you of like, this was really good for its time or is currently really good?
Every laptop I have ever purchased still works, which is kind of nuts because the first one that I purchased was in 2009 and it literally still functions. my bamboo still works. I think my parents like lost it, but they have it somewhere. They'll find it. I bought this Toshiba. That was probably my like favorite individual one. I'm not going to remember the model, but it was this like silver and white laptop that had a backlit keyboard that I really liked because I'd use it in the dark and I could see the keyboard. And like, yes, I don't need to see a desktop keyboard to be able to type on it, but I kind of do on certain laptop keyboards because they have varied layouts, right? And yeah, that laptop's just still chugging. It worked for like ever. Eventually, I don't remember if it was my brother or myself, but one of us put an SSD in it. And that like brought some life back to it. At this point, it's literally a laptop from 2009. So there's not so much you can do to it to make it not just like borderline useless. But like it can web browse. It can edit a document. It can't do either super perfectly, but it can do it, which is cool. And like average laptop lifespan, as far as my understanding, when I used to work in retail, was like 3 years. So the fact that I've never had any of them die is pretty cool. I don't know.
I don't know if I could choose a favorite. I actually haven't owned a ton of laptops. I guess the one I had in uni was kind of cool. The M5NE from Asus. It was one of the only bare bones laptops you could get. I was like determined to like piece it together myself. Saved a couple bucks. That was all right.
Cool.
Question here from Mystic Man. I'm curious if you guys do any daily reading, whether it's news sites, webcomics, or anything of that sort.
I read news daily. I doom scroll Twitter, which I shouldn't.
That. Yeah.
From Nicholas. Now that you've kind of gone through some of these troubles with the lab and with Lab 1 and stuff like that, is there anything that you would do differently now that you're where you are now in the progress of everything?
No.
I would have recruited someone additional internally to help me with hiring because over 10,000 resumes was a lot.
Yeah.
Joe's been helping me out just for like some transparency, but I brought him in not right away. And having someone who would be able to potentially even like do interviews and stuff would have been really nice. I don't know if that would have even been possible at the time. I don't know, but yeah, it's been like quite the process because it's just been so much work. Because anytime we have a developer position up, we just get insane amounts of applications, which is great. Like I appreciate it, but it's a lot of work. Yeah.
Question from Justin. Do you have any other plans for Steam Deck videos? It's another one we've gotten quite a bit after we didn't do the using it every day for a month because you just gamed the whole time.
Yeah, we're going to be uploading a video where we hot rod cooled the Steam Deck.
I saw that picture.
I pitched this to Alex a while back and he's like, I don't think it's going to work. Spoiler alert, it's awesome.
It looks like it wouldn't be uncomfortable too.
It's fine.
Which is cool.
It's amazing. Basically, the whole genesis of that project was a conversation with the CEO of Aya, who makes the Neo, that competing handheld. And I was like, hey, noise on these things is a problem and cooling is a problem. Here's a solution. And it was actually inspired by those, you know, those little water cooling kits you can get for phones, where it's like just a backing you put on it and then you run tubes to like an ice bath or whatever just to like cool your phone while you're gaming on it so your FPS doesn't drop. It was inspired by that. And I was like, okay, what about that but less stupid? So you just have, because you've got your die and then you've got usually a heat pipe of some sort running off to your heat exchanger. What if just on top of that heat pipe, you had a spot where you could,
for sure.
Yeah, where you could just put like a secondary cooling element that sticks out of the casing, and then you could just have a cover for when you're not using it. That'd be flipping awesome, right? And he's like, oh, I don't know.
Manual performance mode.
That sounds pretty...
Let's go.
That sounds pretty dumb.
It sounds pretty 90s, to be completely honest.
And then I sent him a picture of the result, and I told him the results, and he was like, we will explore this.
That's cool. That's cool. I like that.
We did it with the Steam Deck rather than an Aya Neo, just because the Steam Deck's layout is more conducive to a janky, you know, kind of half-arsed implementation of
it. Without ruining, like, your hand-holding experience, I guess.
But I would love to see that actually become a thing.
Yeah, that's cool.
That is pretty much it for questions. We just get a lot of passionate Roku people over the last couple of weeks.
Hey, what's up? Shout out, Roku people.
There is the thing.
I saw someone ask about RTC batteries on Framework laptops. It started some controversy on the forums. I've looked at it now. I see that they are replying to people about what went wrong and what they've changed. So I guess we'll have to just keep an eye on that. But it seems like in terms of transparency, they're doing okay now.
I know I say it wrong, but there's the app Hydravion. Apparently, it's French for Flowplane.
Hydravion. I'm guessing.
That makes sense. Avion. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Hydravion. Yeah, apparently it works great. I don't know. I've heard very good things about it. Again, I haven't personally used it. I don't have a Roku, but I have heard very good things about it. So, yeah, check it out. I'm not saying we won't make one eventually.
I have one, but I've heard great things. Sorry. I'm done.
That is pretty much what I was doing.
And I think we're done here. Thanks for tuning into the WAN Chill. We will see you again next week. Same bad time, same bad channel.
Bye.
Okay, hold on a second. Stop the intro. Hold on, I gotta go back to cam only here. I wasn't trying to pronounce it in French. It was an English pronunciation of the French. I was like, Hydravion. Yeah, it would be Hydravion or something like that. I know it's not Hydravion. Okay,
We're trying to kind of help people find it. So we're saying it a little bit more English phonetically, you know?
Oh, man. You guys want to see something funny? Hold on. Before we go, something funny. Here's my shared screen. People are like, lol, Linus ignored YouTube chat. Guess what? This is still broken. Super chats and members. Literally super chats right here and new members right here, and yet they are not under viewer activity. This is why we just don't bother anymore. So dumb.
There's a funny moment in the stream where usually when we share screens, we share your screen. So there's Twitch and Flowplane chat up, and then they like fight. Something that's been really funny is lately Twitch chat has just been saying really nice things about Flowplane chat. So Flowplane chat looks like a bunch of jerks, which I find to be entertaining. But when we shared my screen, I don't have Twitch chat up. So it was just Flowplane chat drawing arrows to themselves, saying negative things. So I love you, Flowplane chat, but you kind of got owned. Oh, so funny.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.